Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for texts, as usual. Or you can send us an email to ray@rte.ie. So, mentioned in dispatches, the over 50s. We can get the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson. And that's a big boost for everybody, because not just us in the 50 to 60 age bracket, but everyone else, because it looks like, excuse the really bad pun, but that the vaccination rollout has got a shot in the arm, which is good news. And we're all awaiting with bated breath another announcement before the end of the week about what restrictions are going to be lifted. And we all have our favourites, I suppose. Hairdressers for a lot of people is a big thing. And it's not just about getting the hair done, because that seems quite shallow. It's a return to normality. This is something that I used to do to pamper myself. This is something I used to do in the before time. And now I want to do it in this time. And that's why it's so important. It's not about the vanity of it. It's about something else. It's all wrapped up in other emotions, not just vanity. And then there are people, you know, who were delighted because they could play golf yesterday. You could see the big smiles on people's faces. People playing tennis, young people out GAA training and camogie training and all sorts of things. All good, all good. There is one problem, though. And I don't know if you've developed this. I've developed a thing called county envy. And it's all John Creedon's fault, because he tweeted last night that he just spent a number of days on the Barry Peninsula, a break that he said he'd waited for 8 months. And he was out there and lovely picture of the sun setting over Bear Island. And I thought to myself, yeah, it's okay for you down in Cork. Like, think about it. Like, if you're in Youghal, it could take you two hours to get to the other side over to Alahees or someplace like that. And you've all that stuff. You've a city, you know, you've East Cork. Lovely East Cork with Youghal and all that. Ballycotton. And then you go through the city and down to West Cork. You've Kinsale. You've Clonakilty, Rosscarbery. You've Glandore. And then out, when you go out into the Barra Peninsula, you know, Ballylickey, Glengariff. Then off out Adrigal. Healy Pass. You go that way down to Bunaw. Have a pint and a sandwich in Teddy O'Sullivan's, or else the other way, and you go into Castletown Bear, then out the road to Alahees, and then you might come back to Irie's with the multicoloured houses. And you've all that in one county, in one county. Now, look, Dublin isn't too bad, because we have the city and we have the sea. City isn't much use to us because all the retail's closed, but we have the zoo and we have the coast. I was thinking about Kildare. Now, I love Kildare. Home is where the heart is and all that. Love Kildare County and everything about it. But it's a tough one to be in during lockdown, because it's landlocked. And I don't know of any place, maybe somewhere in Maynooth, maybe within 20 kilometres of the sea, but most of County Kildare isn't. And there isn't much variety in Kildare either. You know, it's pretty flat. It's pretty flat. So I wonder which is the best county in the country to be in. It's going to be hard to beat Cork. I know Kerry's going, we have it all as well. Well, you don't have a city in Kerry. Galway has a city, and it has, of course, Galway, yeah. You can go from East Galway right out to Clifton out there, to Mam's Cross, taking in the beauty of Connemara. That's a lot there, yeah. And I suppose Sligo, Mayo, Donegal have the coastline and a lot more besides. So I'm wondering what's the best county to be in, seeing as we're stuck in our counties. And when is that going to be lifted? They're saying it'll be July now before it's going to be lifted. Anyways, yesterday we were talking about a rabbit on a leash. Oh, yes, we were. Yes, we were, because a white rabbit on a red leash was spotted in Phoenix Park over the weekend. And we thought it was an aberration. Is that the word? A once-off. Very odd. And then somebody else had spotted another rabbit on another leash, and then people were offering up various stories of ferrets and lambs and cats and all sorts of things, and a woman sent in a picture of a leash you can get for a pet rat. And last night we spotted a tweet about a goat being led around a shopping centre in Dundalk on a pink leash, more like a harness, I suppose, for a goat than a leash. So there we'll add the goat to our list. Rabbits and ferrets and lambs and cats and rats and now goats, all on leashes. That's what's happening. That's what's happening with people in lockdown. They're doing weird and wonderful things. And of course, one of the big stories that we'll be remembering in years to come will be the move to working from home and the Zoom calls and creating an office out of the spare room or the kitchen or the bedroom or whatever. A couple of people in the States have thought, well, they had this weird, wacky notion that people might miss the smell of the office. So they developed, partly as a joke, a range of scented candles. And each candle had a particular scent of an office. Like Afternoon Rush at the Coffee Bar was the name of one. Another one was Hard-Working Blend of Antiperspirant and Musky Colognes in the Smallest Conference Room. Room 12F, after a 6-hour workshop. Bold Bouquet of Bacon, Egg and Cheese after a 20-hour edit. And all, and they thought, you know, bit of diversion. Huge demand. Huge demand. And it's become a business for them now. Creative directors Katie Fakada and Thibaut Gerard are now reaping the rewards of their wild, wacky idea and making money out of it. I could add a few from here if you like, Katie and Thibaut. How about fish pie in a microwave? There's a good one. You know what I'm talking about, Mark. Fish pie in the microwave. Yeah. The small canteen up there. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of, there's no other real strong smells that I get. No. Fish pie in a microwave would be the one if you want to work on that. So that's that. We've been talking about sneakers over the past while for various reasons. We had the man who cleans sneakers, and then we had the price of sneakers, and then fake sneakers and counterfeit sneakers and all that sort of thing. Well, the latest sneaker story is that Kanye West's original designs for, was it Adidas or Nike? Anyway, they've sold for $1.8 million. A pair of Nike Air Yeezy. Yeah, that's it, Nike. First worn by rapper Kanye West, have sold for $1.8 million. That's mad, isn't it? And the shoes beat the record held by a pair of Nike Air Jordan 1s, which sold for $615,000 back in August 2020. The record price for runners has been broken several times recently, as what has seen as a niche market 10 years ago now attracts interest from the general public as well as leading collectors. There's a great documentary on Disney, if you have it. Jeff Goldblum, you know your man from the Jurassic Park movies and other movies, but he's immediately recognisable from the Jurassic Park movies. He's done a series of documentaries, and one of them is about sneakers, and he goes to a sneaker fair. These things exist in America. Huge warehouse with all of these people selling limited edition runners, sneakers, trainers, tackies, whatever you call them. And it's an amazing documentary. And he gets his own specific ones, bespoke ones made. And he meets this guy whose job is to unbox sneakers. He has millions of followers. And he has this really funky looking studio. And he just, that's what he does. He gets the delivery of a pair of sneakers, and he slowly and very ceremoniously opens the box and slowly unravels, you know, takes the tissue off one leaf at a time to reveal the lovely sneakers. And he has cameras on close-ups, overheads, all sorts of cameras. And that's what he does. Anyway, it's there on Disney if you want to watch it. I don't think any of the sneakers that we have at home will be worth anything close to 1.8 million. A lot of interest in a book we spoke about last week. We spoke to Conor Creighton about his book, This Is It. So it's about his life, and it's about how he became a meditation teacher. And it struck a chord with a lot of people. So that's the name of it. Some people missed the name. So Conor Creighton, This Is It, is the book that people were looking for, because we had a lot of queries about that. And Oliver Marshall was one of those people who were looking for that. So there you go, Oliver. Now, I have a number of texts to get to, but first I'll tell you about our quiz of today. Today being the 27th of March. No, it's not. It's the 27th of April. Lost a month there. And we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the decades, centuries, years. Big stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV shows, songs, etc., etc. And there's a prize. All our prizes this week are courtesy of the Flynn Hotel Collection. Today, the prize, a two-night stay in the Marble City at New Park Hotel Kilkenny, with breakfast in both mornings and dinner in Gulliver's Restaurant on the night of your choice. There's an abundance of activities on site. Whether you wish to unwind in the Escape Spa or visit the Adventure Trail and Animal Farm, make some time to explore this beautiful medieval city and a visit to Kilkenny Castle, or stretch your legs with a 12-kilometre walk along the River Nore from Kilkenny to Bennett's Bridge. You can find out more at newparkhotelkilkenny.com. If you want to be involved and be with a chance of winning that prize, you have to answer our qualifying question, which is this. Can you name the TD who today resigned his seat for Dublin Bay South? Can you name the TD who today resigned his seat for Dublin Bay South? 1850-715-900. We could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you. Now, let's see what you're saying. 515-51. Best county is County Waterford, of course. We have Ardmore, Comeragh Mountains, the Greenway, Colligan Woods, and beaches galore. More beaches than you could shake a stick at, says Sonia. Totally agree. I'm a Cork girl living up the country in Roscommon. Can't wait to head down to Cork on my holidays and get chips and peas again. I'm sure there are chips and peas available in Roscommon tea. Come on, Ray. Donegal by a mile, says Phil. And could you please tell Ray that if you're living in Cork, you can't go over the Healy Pass to Bunaw, as you will be in Kerry. Aha! Sorry, I didn't know Bunaw was in Kerry. I would have thought I was still in Cork. Thank you very much. That's the other side of the peninsula, isn't it? 2 hours from Yall to Alahees. What were you driving, Ray? No, I was just guessing. That was a mad guess. County Clare. Doolin, Cliffs of Moher, Lahinch, the beautiful Burn, fabulous coastline of 10 kilometres from Ballyvaughan to Listoon Varna, Spanish Point, Liscannor. The flaggy shore, no county to beat Clare, says Mary. Teddy's is in Kerry. We must stick within county boundaries, but we're still going well. Regards, Jim. Thanks for that. Kerry has 13 blue flag beaches, the highest mountains, the best walks, and of course Killarney, the best town in Ireland, with great fish and golf and pony trekking, says Pat. And since when do we call runners sneakers? We're becoming more Americanized by the day. My son's friend refers to sweets as candy. Oh, I know. I know. Tom says adult instead of adult. Wonder if they have a Monday after a weekend on the Guinness scent. No. A Monday after a weekend on the Guinness scent. Mark, no. We won't be buying that. We all know it, but we won't be buying it. Right, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Tolu McKay and her friend Felly Speak are going to be talking to us later on. Really looking forward to that. So just to get you in the humour, if you like, here's Tolu and her version of N17. Good afternoon. Tolu McKay and the RTE Concert Orchestra, supported by your TV licence, and their version of N17. I'm homesick now. That's one powerful tune, says Tig in Brooklyn, NYC. And then on the best county, best holiday destination has to be Longford. We have roads, bogs, boreens, more bogs. Cheers, James from Ballymahon. That's the town with the big street, isn't it? And yes, centre parks. On runners, we call them goodies in the northeast, which comes from the gutta perch rubber that was used many years ago to make the soles of them. Didn't know that. And Pedantic Pat has been on. His name for himself, not mine. Ray, it's Nike as in bike, Mike like. Not Nike. Yours, Pedantic Pat. Is it Adidas or Adidas? Is it Lidl or Lidl? Neve just said, don't start. I'm just doing for Pedantic Pat's sake, you know, just for his benefit. 51551, Ray at RT.ie. Wexford, no contest. Beaches, Hookhead, Castles, best people. Leitrim isn't called lovely Leitrim for nothing, Ray. It's Ireland's hidden gem. A rake of lakes. Great for fishing. Beautiful unspoiled scenery. Mountain walks and friendly people. Sean Ballinamore. I love Leitrim. Love it. And on the channel up there in Drumshambo, and you have the heated outdoor lake, and there's so much to do up there, Leitrim Village. And I better not mention anywhere else because it might be in a different county. It's Coot Hall in Leitrim is in Roscommon. It's on the border, I think. No choice is Galway. Connemara, Rossmuck, Uachtarard, lovely spots, says Frank. And tell Ray it's Nike, not Nike. See when it's spelt out, they all look the same to me. 51551 RayRT.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at RTE.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551. Jesse James, good afternoon.
Hello.
How
nice
are you?
Nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you as well.
Good.
Yeah, you're 11.
Yep.
Yeah, what, are you just in from school?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, what school do you go to?
I go to St. Bridget's National School.
Whereabouts?
Meath Hill.
Yeah, what county is that in?
Meath.
The hint is in the name, isn't it, James, Jesse? So tell us about your name first, because somebody was obviously a fan of Westerns back in the day, were they?
Well, yeah, my dad was and my granddad was.
Yeah, fans of Jesse James and John Wayne and all that. Now, the reason we want to talk to you today is you were stuck for a bit of cash and you started a business. So what did you need the money? What did you need the money for, Jesse?
Oh, well, me and my cousins was out playing and we were hungry and we wanted a chipper.
Right. What did you want from the chipper?
We wanted a burger and chips.
Okay. So you went to your mum and you said, my cousin and I are hungry and we want a burger and chips. And she said?
No.
Right. Look at all that food in the fridge. We've all heard it, Jesse James. We've all heard it in the past. So what did you decide to do?
Yep. Well, we decided we'd go outside and look and see what we could do to get money.
Right.
And I just remember I seen my granny the day before feeding the birds. So I remembered we had a bit of leftover timber from building the extension and I asked Mum could I have it.
Yeah.
And we had a hammer and a saw and a drill and we used that and we built four of them and went around selling them.
What, you built what? Four what?
AM board houses.
Aha. And you built it from scratch. You just, that was, came out of your head, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you built them yourself and your cousin. Who did you sell them to?
Well, we went round selling them to the neighbours. The first three I sold them for a tenner.
Right.
And I thought I was going too cheap because everybody just said yeah straight away.
Yeah.
So the last house I sold it for 15.
They're going to be listening to the radio now, Jesse James. And they're going to go, your man's a bit of an outlaw there. So you sold them all and did you build any more then?
Well, on the way back, I got a load of orders. I met a woman on the road and she ordered one.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the house, I had 11 more orders.
Wow. At €15 a piece?
Yep.
Right. That's big money. What did your mum think of all this?
Well, she laughed at us whenever we were going off because she didn't think we'd even sell any of them.
It's become a business now, hasn't it? So you're branching out, excuse the bad pun. So did you finish making the birdhouses?
Well, we used the money we had home to go and buy timber to finish off the rest of them.
Right. And what happened then?
Yeah. And then we were able to get the takeaway that weekend.
What did you get? Did you go for the burger and chips?
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And then you got a feel for the carpentry and I suppose the selling on. So you became a little bit of a carpenter entrepreneur. And what did you decide to make then?
Well, I thought it was going to be a good idea. So I said I was going to think of something else to do.
Yeah.
So I thought of the wheelbarrows and...
I'm looking at them here. So it's a sort of a miniature wheelbarrow that acts as a flower pot of sorts. Is that it?
Yeah.
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 And where did you get the design for that, Jesse James?
Oh, well, I sort of thought of like about a flower pot.
Yeah.
Like something that'd be nice for Mother's Day and Easter. And then I was like, a wheelbarrow'd look cool.
Right.
So I decided I'd make one and Mum said it was lovely, so I kept making them then.
Yeah. Now, of course, with the expanding business, you needed new tools and you needed a bit of investment. Who invested money in the business?
Well, more so I did myself.
Right. But did you get a loan from your mother?
Oh, your mum gave me a loan to get a nail gun because Mother's Day I had 30 to make and Easter I had another 50 to make.
Wow. How much were you selling the wheelbarrows for?
Well, mostly just for the neighbours and
yeah, but
my aunt advertised them.
Aha, on Facebook. But how much were they? How much were you selling them for? How much were they?
They were 20 euro.
Right. Okay. So you got
5 empty and 25 full.
Right. Oh, so and who was helping you out? So your auntie was advertising on Facebook. Your sister Rebecca, what was she doing?
Yeah, and then my granny and my mum was helping me do it.
Okay, okay. And what was Rebecca doing, your sister?
Oh, she was the sweeper.
Oh, she was the sweeper, right, right, okay. So what, I believe you treated the family then to a takeaway with your, with the profits.
Yeah.
Some of the profits. What did you get?
Well, we all just got something that we liked. We got an Indian.
Right, right, lovely, lovely. So what's the plan next then?
Well, I'm making wooden crosses for the graves now.
That's the next thing, right, okay. Good.
And I want to get a trampoline from my granny's house.
Does she, for her, or does she like the trampoline?
No, for us.
Oh, for you, right. Can your granny go on the trampoline?
No, I don't think so.
No. So you're going to get it for her garden, I see. Right, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Very good. What do you want to be when you grow up? Jesse James, I think I know the answer to this
one. I want to be a carpenter.
You want to be a carpenter,
I want to design kitchens and everything.
Yeah. And I believe you've been very good at making things since you're a very young age. You were good at Lego.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's... So I'm thinking you've built 80 wheelbarrows. And how many...
I've sold more before Mother's Day.
Oh, did you? Oh, did you? Right.
In between.
Oh, right. So there's more than 80 then. You're probably topping 100 wheelbarrows, are you?
Yeah, probably around that.
Yeah. And what about the... How many birdhouses did you sell?
We sold... We had 11 orders whenever we came home. And
yeah,
we sold 4 that day. And I sold a load from then. So
from then
probably
on.
Around 25.
Right. Great. You're brilliant. You're absolutely brilliant. I think we'll be hearing about you. What do you think you'll call your business? Jesse James Cabinets. No.
For kitchens and stuff, yeah, probably around that.
Around that, okay. Well, listen, thanks for taking time out. Did you pay your mother back the money?
Yeah.
Well done. You're brilliant. Okay. Jesse James, great talking to you. Mind yourself.
Could I say hello to the teachers in the school?
Of course.
Said if you say hello to Miss McCatty and Mr. Lockman, they'd give us all homework passes.
Right, okay. So it's Miss Mulcahy, is it?
Yep.
Miss Mulcahy, and what's the master's name?
Mr. Lockman.
Mr. Lockman. So Miss Mulcahy, Mr. Lockman, hello from everybody here in RT Radio 1. And that means that Jesse James Stewart's class in St. Bridget's in Meath Hill National School have no homework tonight. Yay! I'm not going to say the whole week. They're saying the whole week. What do you think, Jesse?
The whole week.
The whole week. I don't know. I get in trouble. You get me in trouble. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Right, Jesse James. Good luck. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we played Tolu McKay and her version of N17 at the top of the show. And back in March, Tolu and her friend Feli Speaks, who's a poet, exploded. That's the only word you could use. Exploded onto the Tommy Tiernan show. And they were just amazing. A breath of fresh air. Friends full of energy, full of talent, full of wisdom. So we decided we had to speak to them because they've just launched their own show on YouTube and it's become a podcast on Spotify as well. So Tolu McKay and Felicia Olus Anya, good afternoon.
Hello, hello. How are you, Ray?
Good, good. Is that Feli?
Hi,
Feli. How are you? Yes, yes. Okay. So we might have a bit of a delay, but we'll work through it. Okay. So I'll come to you, Feli, first. So Feli Speaks, that's your name, your sort of your poet name.
Yeah.
And then your full name is Felicia Olusanya. And what does your mum call you?
My mom calls me either Felicia or Oreolua.
Oreolua, okay. Good to talk to you. Congratulations on everything. That yourself and Tolu on the Tommy Tiernan show was just a very special moment in television.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Did you realise when you were just being yourselves, weren't you, Feli?
Yeah, absolutely. We were just being ourselves. We were just having a good time and just hanging out with Tommy. And it was just really cool to have that moment with each other and to share it online and to share it on TV. It was probably the secondary part of the whole experience. But yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
Before we get to Tolu, now, second mention of the day for Longford, because you're from Longford Town.
Yes.
Okay. And do you reckon Longford, we were talking about counties here, so you're happy enough to be living in Longford?
Oh, I don't currently live in Longford.
Oh, dear. Okay, right. Where do you live now?
I currently live in Maynooth Town.
Aha, right. Okay. And just introduce yourself to people who wouldn't have seen you on with Tommy.
So my name is Felicia. I go by the stage name Feli Speaks, and I'm a poet and performance artist, and that's what I do for a living.
Right. And we found out watching the show that one of your poems will be on the Leaving Cert curriculum in the coming years.
Yes, absolutely. I'm really excited.
That is out of this world amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's still shocking, actually.
Imagine when you pick up that book and you see your poem in print.
I cannot wait. I'm going into every shop, picking up every book that has Leaving Cert on it and just going to town.
And just stand there with the book open. And as
people
pass,
just going shop to shop, person to person.
That's me. See, that's me. That's my poem. Yeah. Tolu, we played N17 at the top of the show. Still sounds amazing. Still gets the goosebumps going. Yeah. So congratulations on that. And
thank you so much.
You performed for Uchtdrawn the Héireann, Michael D. Higgins. That was a real privilege, wasn't it?
It was. It was an amazing experience. I mean, I'm waiting for the day that I do get to meet our president. But knowing that I was part of like such a beautiful set list of other people that are going to, you know, say happy birthday to the president of Ireland, I was like, heck yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah. So you're from Tullamore. Are you still in Tullamore?
I sure am.
Right.
I'm looking at the cows.
that's a nice thing to be looking at, yeah. I presume they're in a field.
Of course.
Yes. So tell us about you and Feli's relationship, how you met and how you became such strong friends.
Yeah, so we met like 10 years ago. I came down to Longford and we just kind of, we clicked from there. I do remember us talking about it on the Tommy Tiernan show and I was like, oh yeah, it was because of a boy that I came down, and then we just became friends from there on.
Right. Yeah, you did mention it, but you didn't mention where the boy is now. So we'll just leave that out, will we? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No need to discuss him.
No need to discuss him, okay. So was it as a result of the appearance on Tommy Tiernan that you decided to do your own show? Is that it, Feli?
Yeah, it was a combination of a few things. Just kind of watching other people enjoy us enjoy each other was quite interesting for us. And I think also just the whirlwind of being really accepted and celebrated for just being joyful and being ourselves was definitely a part of it. And we just thought, yeah, I mean, we can do this.
Yeah, and Tolu, you articulated really well that you are sort of trailblazers, you're pioneers in Ireland. You know,
because Felicia mentioned that, and we are, I completely agree with that. You know, this is all very new to us. There's no one that we can like look at and be like, oh, if you do this, this is where you get to. So honestly, I think even with the creation of our with our show, it's just us enjoying everything that we can in this moment and any opportunity that we're given, and just putting it out there. Because I mean, our voices are to be heard. People enjoy what we have to say, and that's just us being us. So it's nice to share that.
Yeah, because, and I've mentioned this before, Ireland, like when it comes to, you know, ethnicities, we're way behind the UK and America. So we're doing things for the first time here as a country, aren't we, Feli?
Yeah, I think we're we're learning on the job, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's unique to us. We like, and I'm fearful sometimes that people are looking to the UK and looking to America for their references. But, you know, we are learning on the job. It's new to us and it's unique to Ireland. So we need to be aware of that constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, just accepting that there's space for growth and it's okay to grow. And we're just really enjoying just being part of that journey and part of that history. And I think just by virtue of being who we are, it feels nearly inevitable. But yeah, we're just grateful to share a platform where we get to be vulnerable. And that's like such a new thing. That's for us specifically, just being able to be vulnerable outside of the comfort of our own homes and just, I suppose, showing and lending to others ways of being vulnerable with each other.
So prior to this, then you, well, I'm sort of reading into what you're saying there, that you had to put on a face when you went outside, that you couldn't show any vulnerability.
I wouldn't necessarily say I couldn't show vulnerability, but I don't think there's enough places for vulnerability to thrive. Okay. You know, I think we're all on the go. We're just trying to work. We're trying to make it. We're trying to do this or the other, or just trying to get the groceries. And I think having spaces to just stop and relax and exhale and just be yourself and have other people join you on that journey of exploring that is something to be proud of. And I think we're really excited to start that journey.
Yeah. Tolu, so it's you two together having the chats and you pick a theme each week. And the first one, it was friendship, which is a good place to start because you're such good friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, I watched it. So can you just talk to our listeners a bit about how, you know, what's the recipe for success when it comes to friendships?
Oh, the recipe for success when it comes to friendship. I think it's what our show is about, being vulnerable, being able to have a conversation and being honest, being open. Like there's one thing that we found out about ourselves that we've never fought. And we always wondered, like, is that a strange thing? And I don't think it is. I mean, part of what I felt is having a good relationship is being able to share your mind without feeling shamed or getting into like some form of like argument or being in some form of animosity because you shared your mind.
Yeah.
So it's important to have friends that are able to just bounce off on you, and we have that.
And Feli, you talk about reassurance in a friendship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about reassurance in our friendship, and I think it's important to reassure your friend because you're in a relationship, like every other relationship, familial relationships or romantic relationships deserve reassurance. And I think it's quite a human thing to lean on each other to feel like you're safe. Again, I think safety is an important part of vulnerability, and you can find that in friends in a really healthy way.
Mm. Tolu, do you feel that you are a role model now for your community?
Word role model.
Do you not like that phrase?
I suppose my philosophy is like, I'm just doing me, and I really do appreciate people that fall in love with who I am and what I do. But having the pressure of being a role model makes me feel like I can't make mistakes, and I want people to be like, you know, I am human. You are also human. Everything that I'm doing in this life is not something that's so hard to attain or reach. So being put on a pedestal of being like this role model, it's like, I'm still learning. Don't give me a task yet.
Work in progress. That's our phrase for today. Yeah, yeah. So next week, what's next week's theme?
Ooh, failure and success.
Right.
Yes.
It's this week's theme, actually.
Yes, it's out on a Saturday evening.
Yes, every Saturday 6 p.m.
The Tolu and Feli Show on YouTube and Spotify. So you can see it on YouTube and you can listen to it on Spotify. That's interesting. Failure and success. So I suppose from the outside, you two appear to be very successful. Is that fair enough?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on failure then? Is that something that motivates you? The fear of failure?
Ooh. Like we discussed this in depth in the episode. So we will leave it for everybody and you to watch it.
I like that,
but to ask the question, what would, to you, Ray, what do you think is, what do you think you fear most, failure or success?
Ah, that's easy. Failure. I'm
really?
Ooh, okay, oh,
I have a phobic fear of failure. Like,
oh, really?
Wow.
And that's really what makes me do what I do and keeps me going. My mother's a lovely woman. She's amazing. But she once showed me a quote that was attributed to Nelson Mandela, but I don't think he said it. And it was about that we are afraid to be who we possibly can be. We are afraid of our full potential. So that would be, I suppose, a fear of success, wouldn't it be? Why would you fear success, do you think?
I suppose that, I think one of the things I mentioned in the video and will be explored when you watch it on Saturday at 6 p.m. is that...
Go Felly!
plug. The success feels very public and it feels like it invites multiple people to be a participant in observation, whereas I feel that failure is quite personal and private to me. And I suppose the things that I will count and consider failures might not matter to many other people, but success is like, or what we call success is easily identifiable and just invites multiple voices. And that's terrifying.
And that's interesting what you say there, because it's important that we look at what we consider to be success.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's different versions of success.
Yes,
and I think
make
that what you will, you know, and that's the best part of living your life, that you get to decide what your success looks like and what your failures look like.
But do you feel that your generation have quite a narrow view of success?
Ooh,
that's very interesting. I don't know if it would be considered narrow. I think actually it's heading to a specific place, but it wouldn't necessarily be narrow. I think it's easier to identify by like the amount of followers or the amount of attention or the amount of this and that and the other, but it's not necessarily different to other generations. I mean, fame and glamour and celebrity or celebration of people for just being people is not a new thing, but I think it's narrowed down more by virtue of just even technology and how reachable it is for the everyday man.
Yeah, and there's metrics around everything, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's Marianne Williamson is the original quote. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nice.
Now, you can mull over that.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pity you can't be here, you know, because it's limiting the fact that you're in Maynooth and Tullamore looking at cows, in your case, Tolu. But the Tolu and Felly show is available 6 o'clock this Saturday, episode 2, YouTube and Spotify. You can go back and watch episode 1 if you like or listen to it on Spotify. And when this is all over, you might come in and sing for us and recite some poetry, and we would love that. But for the moment, Tolu and Felly, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your day.
You too.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, if you walk into a particular art gallery in Mayfair in London, you could be forgiven for thinking you were in a pharmacy. It is an installation by our next guest, Lucy Sparrow. She's part of the NFS for the purposes of this installation, which is the National Felt Service. And Lucy joins us on the line now. How are you doing, Lucy?
Hi, Ray. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. Congratulations. I saw a picture of you behind the counter in the NFS yesterday in The Guardian, and I thought that is amazing. This is your, what, seventh installation? Will you tell people what you do?
Yes, I think it's the seventh installation. Basically, for my art, I make felt shops or felt scenarios. So everything is made out of felt. The shelves, everything on the shelves, basically anything apart from me.
Why is the answer, I suppose, firstly? Or is the question, not the answer, it's the question.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted to be an artist and... I wanted to do something different to the traditional, like oil painting or sculpture, and I loved the installations I saw, like, as a kid going into art galleries. And I just love the fact that you can go and see something and it transports you to another place. And I want it to be, like, all-encompassing and a real, like, whirlwind when you go.
It's spectacular. How many individual pieces are in your current installation?
It's 15,000 individual pieces in this one.
Right. And how long did that take you?
It took me a year, a little over a year, but it was kind of, I had the idea about 3 years ago. So I started making it and then COVID hit, we got delayed and delayed and delayed. And then eventually managed to open. It just so happened that it was during COVID and it was like some weird coincidence, which is, you know, good slash bad, I guess.
Yes, yeah, yeah. What have you done in the past? You've done a supermarket which had over 30,000 items.
I did a supermarket in Los Angeles called Sparrow Mart, and it was 30,000 items, all of it American packaging and branding, and it sold out. We had to shut the show early because lots of people wanted to buy felt food. Amazingly.
Well, what caught my attention in particular is something that we're very proud of in this country. I don't know if you even know that we are proud of this product. Any guesses?
I have to admit to cheating. Your researcher mentioned it to me.
Right, okay.
The Sudocrem, I had no idea. This is fascinating.
Yes, originally made in Dublin by a pharmacist, a guy on his own, developed it himself. And it's multinational now, of course. Most recently seen behind Madonna in one of her social media posts. And I saw a thing on The One Show on BBC where a number of ex-army guys were rowing across the Atlantic, and in their little, you know, provisions place, there was Sudocrem as well. So it gets around.
It's amazing, and it's such iconic packaging.
Isn't it? Yes.
As soon as I got off the phone, I was like, right, I'm going to tell at least three people this fact, because I had no idea. And such an iconic product. I made really tiny ones, the baby tubs, and I've got the big tubs in my pharmacy.
Right. And was it something you were familiar with as a child, Sudocrem?
Absolutely.
Oh,
like if I was babysitting, Sudocrem, it's a constant. I think everyone's heard of it, haven't they?
Yes. Well, we'd like to think so.
Definitely.
It's a little product from a little country.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm just looking. You've done everything. Tampons. Have you done condoms?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got loads of range.
Loads of range. And the thing is that people can buy everything that they see.
Absolutely, which is not something that you would usually have in an art exhibition. You know, it's quite hands-off usually. But no, you can come in, you pick up a basket, you take the art off the shelf, and you can get a piece of art that's signed by me for as little as, you know, £30. So people are putting their own little collections together for their bathroom cabinets. So when they have guests around, they if you go snooping in bathroom cabinets, all you're going to find is felt.
Right, felt.
And the response has been great.
Okay, so bring us back then to the beginning of all this. Were you fond of felt as a child?
Yes, very fond. I started sewing with felt when I was about 6 years old. My mum taught me how to sew. And I just loved that you could make anything and had so many bright colours. Very easy to use for someone who's like beginning to, you know, learn to sew. And I just never gave up doing it. And it really took off from there.
And what was the first thing you made, Lucy?
I think the first thing I made, weirdly, was a fried breakfast out of felt.
Yeah, the fried egg it's something.
Yeah,
you can
a little
see it
fried
there.
Egg. It's very iconic, isn't it? Fried egg. I think I made some sausages and tomatoes and bacon. And I just thought, I was like, I can make my own toys. This is brilliant.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to make more.
You were 6 or 7 then. Now you're in your 30s.
And, I am,
and do you ever have moments of clarity where you're in the middle of, you know, sewing together a felt Sudocrem tub and you go, what's this all about? Does that happen?
I'll be honest, yeah. I sometimes do have to pinch myself because certainly when I was at school, it wasn't ever a thing where you were like, oh, right, you can become an artist when you're older. It was that sort of thing wasn't encouraged. So it's amazing. I can't believe that I'm sort of allowed or like, I can make a living out of making felt shops and how much people like it. And it's It's such a good feeling. I always pinch myself, and I don't think I'll ever take it for granted. I absolutely love my job.
Okay, so what happens next then? So you've done a sex shop, you've done a corner shop, you've done a supermarket, now you've done a pharmacy. A clothes shop wouldn't make sense, would it? Because
a clothes shop wouldn't make sense.
No.
It's not far enough removed,
yes,
is it?
Yeah, no, you've thought through this, obviously. Yeah.
I have definitely. I think it would be great to do like a house. I'd like to do,
Actual size house.
Actual size house.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, with everything in it.
Brilliant.
How cool would that be?
Yeah, that's, I love it. Yeah.
You know, what about like making an entire boat like the size of the Titanic? Literally, like, the limit is your imagination,
yeah,
with these things, and the space, obviously, in my studio. I can't fit that kind of thing.
Speaking of space, there's been a plethora of space movies. We watched Stowaway over the weekend. It's the latest one. It's a, you know, a trip to Mars.
Wow.
There's a thing you could do. You know, a spaceship.
Oh, a spaceship would be amazing. Oh, what about a time machine? Time machine would be cool.
Oh, I love it.
A working time machine.
There you go. Lucy Sparrow, felt artist and groundbreaking scientist, has travelled back in time to when she was six and made a fry out of felt. There you go. Yeah. Brilliant. So we won't be able to travel, obviously, so we're just telling people from afar that it exists and maybe look up the pictures. Lucy Sparrow, can they buy some of the stuff online, Lucy?
They absolutely can.
Great.
So if you go to the nationalfeltservice.co.uk, you can look all the things you can buy, and we ship to Ireland. And
great.
And if you want to see the show, there's so many great photos that people have been taking. And
it's there.
Maybe one day, if we can get the show to travel, we can bring it to Ireland.
Right, when you time travel and you can go on,
exactly,
your space rocket. And what about Pseudocream? How much would it cost me now for the large tub of Pseudocream in felt?
Oh, large tub of Pseudocream, I think, is £60. You can get a little tiny one for £30.
Okay. Thanks very much, Lucy Sparrow. Well done again.
Thank you very much.
Great talking to you.
Bye.
Lucy Sparrow there. Now, text 51551 ray at rte.ie. We've a minute and a half before we go to Nocht. Still, N17 by Tola was affecting people. Listening to that N17 in Chicago, blubbering. That's Ali from Maynooth originally. Is there a time to read out? You have my consent. Like you were saying, Kildare is landlocked, fairly flat, and doesn't really have mountains or sea or valleys. I moved from Dublin to Newbridge in March 2020, just days before things went into lockdown. Just a short example of beauty in County Kildare. Kilcullen, a nice bike ride from Newbridge yesterday. I went there via the Curragh Plains and rode back the shorter way via Athgarvan. I know all these places. Beautiful scenes on the Liffey in both Newbridge and Kildare, and a bit of the Curragh in between. There isn't a hilly bit like, say, from Dunleary to Sallynoggin in County Dublin, but because it's flat, I could drive in Kilcullen really fresh. All the best, says Paul. So there. No, I love Kildare. Don't get me wrong, I love Kildare. We have a donkey called Joey, who's a real character. He can't be ridden, but he gets taken for walks around the roads near us. Taking the donkey, see, I'm from Kildare, so I have to be careful when it comes to donkey, that I don't say donkey, for a walk is a family occasion. Just adding him to the leash club. The photos of him lying down are after the walk. He also comes into the house if you allow him. Donkeys are great pets. So there's a donkey on a leash and a goat on a leash today. We're keeping the list open, so any odd animals on leashes, 51551. They shared the same name as Jesse James, the famous Confederate outlaw. That lad is bound for fame and fortune, says that person. And what an amazing young man is Jesse James. I'm in bits here laughing, as he has made me laugh with his nonchalant, I'm going to make it approach. The fact that it started off him looking for burgers and chips is even funnier. He's great, says Bernie. And lovely leash is the place to be. Have a new mountain track across the Schlieve Bloom Mountain. Fantastic boardwalk, the Rock of Dunmaid, Round Tower at Timahoe, lakes and rivers and forest walks. And to cap it off, we have a coffee and donut takeaway on the mountain by Fiona Cuddy. Regards, says Jerry Wallace. There you go. And there's more to get to. But Anish, Toshi, and the Free Skelton, and Oakdale, and Marion de Hulawan. Gurumah, good Marion. Thank you very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Michael Ryan Kilbegan has been nice. Says Thomas Smith was the inventor of Pseudocream and was related to my gran aunt Nancy from Kells. She was so proud to be a relative of his, says Michael. And Terry says it's pronounced Pseudocreme and not Pseudocream. It'll always be Pseudocream to me, Terry, but thank you. There's a guy called Pat wants to go for a pint with you from earlier on. My friend had a cafe called Beach Cafe in Garrettstown, and we had a display unit with things I picked up, like I had a tin of baked beans, bachelors and tin of tomatoes in fabric. Kids loved to play with them. Good fun, says Deborah. That was on Lucy Sparrow. And on the pronunciation of adult, maybe Tom is correct because we say adultery, not adultery. I see what you're saying. Because he says adult as opposed to adult. Yeah, we won't start. Don't worry. Our quiz of today. Today being the 27th of April. If you need to be reminded. And the prize. Two-night stay in the Marble City at the New Park Hotel. Kilkenny with breakfast on both mornings and dinner in Gulliver's Restaurant on the night of your choice. And there's loads of things to do in the hotel and in and around the hotel. Of course, you can visit Kilkenny Castle or stretch your legs with a 12-kilometre walk along the River Nore from Kilkenny to Bennett's Bridge. You can find out more at newparkhotelkilkenny.com, which is one of the Flynn Hotel collection. Kevin Moran, there's a famous sporting name. How are you doing, Kevin?
If only it was as good, Ray. Yeah. Isn't that it?
Were you named after him, or are you too...
I actually never. Well, Mammy is sitting here beside me, so...
Ask her there. Ask her. Ask her were you named after the famous footballer.
Was I named? I was. Go.
And wasn't he unique in that he played for... Didn't he play for Dublin before he played soccer? Did he, Kevin Moran?
That's right, yeah. He played in the early 80s and that's why Mammy's a dub and she's
there. Ah, there you go. That's the connection.
There you are.
Now, I'm delighted to help you out finding out why you were named your name. What age are you? And you never asked that question.
35.
You're 35,
yeah,
right. Okay.
Born in 85.
Yeah, and you're working from home.
Off the last... Jesus, what, 13 months now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm looking at your profession. You've a safe enough future anyway. You're an engineer in renewable energy.
Yes, yeah, wind turbines and the companies involved in wind energy and solar energy.
It's the business to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, for the time being anyway. And it's only going to get bigger with all the EU directives and national directives. So yeah.
And of course, once we build them, we'll have to maintain them.
That's it. 20-odd years, initial lifespan, and then 20 more if you want to put up more.
Well, there you go. You're 75 at that stage, Kevin.
If I'm still on the go.
Yeah. Okay, so who's your mum's there, obviously, and who else is at home?
That's it. Everybody else is out and about. Right. Mother's at work and the dad's down in the farm.
Okay. So you lived your life in Naas then?
Yeah, just on the outskirts, out in the country. So
right, whereabouts on the outskirts of Naas?
Just out by Cara.
Oh, yeah. You know it well. Yeah. I know the area well. I do indeed, yeah. And has your mum got her vaccination yet? Or?
She has, yeah. She's vaccinated.
Great. That's great.
Unfortunately, my dad isn't, though, so I'm kind of still concerned about going to places and meeting people and all the rest.
As you should be, Kevin. I think that's important that you are, that you are concerned.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're familiar with the quiz and how it works?
Yeah, have an idea, yeah.
Okay, you're up against Alan Crean. There's another famous name, Crean, part of it, from Tralee, County Kerry. How are you doing, Alan?
Hey, Ray, how are you doing?
So are you distantly related to Tom?
Oh, well, we tell everyone we are anyway.
Right, okay. Well, you're in the right part of the country anyway.
My dad is from back... on a Scald direction.
Yes,
so,
and that's
there could be a distant relation there.
Yeah, well, that's Crean country, isn't it? Yeah. On a Scald. Where are you at the moment?
We're on our way back from Cork. We took our little fella up to a dentist up there. He has to have a procedure done next month, surgery. So we're just back on our way. We're stopped off here in Ballyvourney on our way back down to Tralee.
So it was just exploratory today, was it?
Yeah, just a consultancy today. He's doing the deed then next month.
Right, okay. So today was a good one, really, for Aaron because he got off
school. Yeah, off
school
today.
Who else? Your wife, Carol, is with you. Who else is at home?
Carol's with me, and I have my eldest daughter, Jade. She's 23. She's just qualified with a degree in nursing.
Great.
So she's on the lookout for a job. I have Ryan. He's 16. He's in transition year in Montauk in Tralee. And Connor is in first year. He's 14. He's in the same school, and then the twins, Aaron and Ruby.
Aaron and Ruby. Oh, you've a busy house there, don't you?
Yeah.
and everybody's still living at home.
Yeah. Jade came back from England after she'd done her nursing degree, so she's just on the lookout now for a job.
Right. And big news for Aaron tonight.
Aaron.
The football starts back tonight.
Oh, yeah, Connor's back tonight now, the 14-year-old.
All right.
Aaron was back yesterday evening. So
right.
A busy house now for the next few weeks with the training back again, but we don't mind. It's great.
It's great, isn't it? Because it is little bit of normality.
Exactly.
Right, so you know how the quiz works. Five questions lads. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tiebreaker. Good luck. Yeah. Alan on the way back to Tralee and Kevin in Naas. Here we go. Okay, Kevin, first question for you. On this day in 2018, Swedish band ABBA announced they had recorded new songs for the first time since 1982. What we want to know is the colour of the cross on the flag of Sweden. Is it yellow or white?
Yellow.
Correct answer. Alan, on this day in 1922, Fritz Lang's first film, Dr. Mabuse, The Gambler, premiered in Germany. The flag of Germany has three horizontal bands with the national colours. Black, red, and which other colour? Gold or white?
Gold.
Correct answer. Kevin, second question is a naughty one. Have a listen to this.
My name's Alan, Barry Allen, United States Secret Service. Your boy just tried to jump out the window. My partner has him in custody.
I don't know what you're talking about. What,
you think the FBI are the only ones on this guy? I mean, come on. Come on, he's dabbling in government checks here. I've been following a paper trail on this guy for months now.
On this day, 1948, Frank Abagnale Jr., American con artist turned security consultant, was born in New York. He was portrayed in the film Catch Me If You Can by that actor you just heard, alongside Tom Hanks. Can you name the actor?
Tom Cruise?
No. Leonardo DiCaprio it was. Okay, that was a tricky enough one. Alan, have a listen to this. On this day in 1922, Jack Klugman, American actor, was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He played Felix Unger for many years in that American sitcom. Can you name it?
The Odd Couple.
Yeah. Great memories of watching that as a kid.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, your third question is this. On this day in 1960, the African country of Togo declared independence from France. Which of these is the capital city of Togo? Kinshasa or Lomé?
Tempted to say Lomé.
Yeah, Lomé is the correct answer. Yeah. Kinshasa is the Democratic Republic of Congo. So you're on 2 now out of 3. Alan, third question for you. On this day in 1961, the African country of Sierra Leone declared independence from the UK. Which of these is the capital city of Sierra Leone? Freetown or Lagos?
Freetown.
Correct answer. Now, Kevin, your fourth question is an audio one. Here it is. Before your time, Kevin, that song was number one on this day in 1977. Can you name the group?
Bee Gees.
Yeah, you're there, you're in, that's it. And for you, Alan, have a listen to this.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano.
Ebony and Ivory there, number one on this day in 1982. It features Stevie Wonder and who else?
Paul McCartney.
Correct answer. Now, Kevin, you're on 3, Alan's on 4. So you have to get this final one correct to be with a chance. And then if Alan gets his final question incorrect, we're in a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 1908, the fourth Summer Olympic Games opened in London. In the UK. Which of these countries has a larger population than the UK? Okay, which of these countries has a larger population than the UK? Bangladesh, South Africa, or Italy?
Bangladesh.
Said with confidence.
Yeah, fairly sure about that.
Yeah, you are. You're right. Italy is 60 million, South Africa 59 million, the UK is 67 million, and Bangladesh 164 million. So, yes, that's the correct answer. So, Alan, it's yours to lose, so to speak. To draw. So good luck with this. Get it right, you win the prize. Get it wrong, and we're into a tiebreak situation.
Yeah.
Good luck. On this day in 1941, during the Second World War, German troops occupied Athens in Greece. Which of these countries has a larger population than Greece? Okay, which of these countries, larger population than Greece? Denmark, the Netherlands, or Switzerland?
The Netherlands.
You said the Netherlands. Switzerland has a population of 8 million, Denmark 5 million, Greece has 10 million, and you're correct, the Netherlands 17 million.
Well done, Alan.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
Well done, Alan, indeed. Kevin, sorry about that. You were caught out there with Leonardo DiCaprio. We're going to send you down a Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
You better get one for the mother here as well.
Oh, go on. Yeah, we'll send you down two. That's the end of it now. No more twos, just one from here on in. Emily is giving out to me for giving away two every day. So it's just two today and then that's the last of it. And good luck with the renewable engineering. You're in the job for life there. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks very much, lads. Bye. Cheers.
Alan, well done.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Yourself and Carol are going to Kilkenny at some stage in the future.
That's great. Aaron's here in the back of the car and he's saying, can I get a mug?
just to soften the trip to the dentist, he can have one. Go on, Aaron.
Thank you.
Okay, and the New Park Hotel in Kilkenny, newparkhotelkilkenny.com, if yourself and Carol want to have a look to see what's in store for you.
Great talk, Alan.
Safe home.
You.
Mind yourself.
Bye.
See you, Aaron. See you, Carol. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I know the weather has taken a turn for the worse and it feels like the summer is over already. We haven't even reached May. But because it has turned and there's a little bit more wind out there, I witnessed the most spectacular thing today. I was talking about the cherry blossom tree last week. Well, because of the little wind, I saw a lady enjoying a shower of cherry blossom petals at lunchtime. And she was just in the moment and loving it. Of course, recording it for social media, so you'll see it on her Instagram, whatever. And we're going to be talking about cherry blossom trees in a moment with the great Enni Launa. But first, it's been a good year for the cherry blossom trees. And we have President of the Tree Council of Ireland, Enni Launa. How are you doing, Enna?
Great, Ray, and yourself.
Good, yeah, great. I always enjoy talking to you.
That's nice of you. Thank you for saying that.
You've a new book out, Our Wild World,
which
covers everything, does it?
Yes, it's from the birds and the bees to the boglands and the ice caps. And in it I explain, Ray, how the world works. And it's for people who want to know how the world works, but really can't be understanding all these scientific things. So I explain what pollination is and I explain what hibernation is and the migrations, why the birds go away. We can all understand that.
Yeah.
But why do they come back? Why don't they stay in Africa where it's nice and warm, for example?
Yeah.
And all of these things I'm explaining in my inimitable way. You know, pollination is not a wonderful thing that the bees have a meeting every morning and do. They just decide they're going to the pub for a drink and the pub isn't much good. You only get one mouthful, so you have to go off to the next flower for another mouthful and the next flower and the next flower. The pollination happens by accident.
Okay, will you explain this to me then? Just before we get to the cherry blossom trees, the migration of birds and how they're able to travel so far year on year and return to the same spot. What is it? What have they got?
Well, it's hardwired into their system. Again, they don't have a meeting and decide where we're going. It happened, they reckon, after, the Ice Age is when the world opened up again. And obviously, when the world had covered in ice, you had ice down to the middle of France and similarly in the other hemisphere. And the world was smaller. So then as the world became bigger, there was more food further north. And of course, the big thing is that it's daylight for so much longer and birds feed in the daytime.
Yeah.
So if you're down in Africa, hold up for the winter because it's too cold to get insects, because these are all insect-eating birds that we have in summertime. Why wouldn't you stay there? Isn't there lashings of insects in Africa? But the hours of daylight is still 12 hours long. So if you come further north, like up here to Ireland, I mean, we're having the dawn chorus tomorrow next week at before 6 in the morning, and the days are getting up to 18 hours daylight. So as you can see, you have far more time to feed than real young.
More feeding time, yeah.
And then the geese that go further north, I mean, they come down to us for the winter and then they go back up to the Arctic. And I mean, have me grand grass here. Why are they going away up there? Why can't they eat our grass? And it's because they have 24 hours daylight to rear the young up there, you see. So it's to do with the length
greedy.
Of light.
They're greedy. Listen, we're getting...
I know, if you have to feed good starving young people with only bloody grass, you have to eat so much grass. that. You do a poo every 7 minutes. Imagine doing a poo every seven minutes.
Imagine doing that. God, no. Like the,
that's what geese do. Do you ever play football over in Fontenoy over in Dublin Bay and the whole pitch is covered in goose droppings? You'd know all about
every
it.
Every 7 minutes. God, the amount of loose
paper. That's what they reckon.
Yeah.
Someone did a PhD in this. People have little to do. But it's, you know, you have to in and out. So you need a lot of grass for that.
You need
daylight to be doing it. Anyway, that's what's the door. Anyway, you can read all about it in Our Wild World. Available in all good bookshops.
Annie Leona. We're getting lovely pictures coming in of the cherry blossom trees from all over the country and the petals and the showers and all that. Why have they had a particularly good year this year, or are we just noticing them because we're in lockdown?
Well, yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
They had a good year this year because it didn't wind. There was no wind. We had, as you were commenting on the weather being good, it's a real stupid tree to grow in Ireland, really, because these are ornamental cherry trees, and they're grown for their blossom. They're Japanese trees, and they epitomise in the Japanese culture this Buddhist thing of thriving in the moment. So like, there's just a fleeting moment, and you must thrive in this moment and be content in the moment. And the flower, the blossoms will last for about a week, a fortnight at the most. And they start off in the lower half of Japan, and they go up, because Japan is a very long country.
Yeah.
So it takes from March to May for it to go up the whole country. But it's only a fleeting moment. And here, normally, the wind comes at the same fleeting moment and it's even more fleeting and they all blow away. But this year we had a good year for the cherry blossoms and they stayed around for quite a long time. And then people were more out this year. They needed to be cheered up. And of course, the cherry blossoms are beautiful.
Yes.
And they do cheer people up indeed. So like, it was a good year for them. But you know, they're a waste of space. There's no fruit on them. There's nothing to eat. These flowers, and then nothing comes. They're ornamental ones. Not the word ornamental.
They're a thing of beauty.
Yeah, but a cherry tree with fruit on them is a thing of beauty too, and you have fruit afterwards.
Right, okay.
So why can't we grow fruiting cherries rather than ornamental ones?
Right. Well,
because the same thing would work. You have native Irish cherries, the thing called the wild cherry and the bird cherry. They have lovely flowers on them in spring like the other ones do. And they have berries. They have cherries on them later on, which are food for the birds, food for the pine martens. And then you can grow stuff in the garden, cherry trees in the garden.
Okay, so why didn't the people who originally planted these lovely cherry blossom trees, why didn't they think the way you're thinking?
Oh, I don't know. Good marketing, I suppose.
Yes.
The other thing is that the cherry blossom trees, the Japanese ones, have very shallow roots. And if you plant them in towns, they burst the footpaths.
Right.
And local authorities have had to take them out because people have fallen over broken footpaths caused by the roots of the cherry trees.
Yeah.
If you notice them, anywhere in towns, they break the footpaths and they only live for about 60 years. So I'm all in favour of cherry trees if you get fruit on them as well. Not just a crowded hour of glorious life. Leave that to the Japanese who want to thrive in the moment. I want fruit afterwards.
You're wrecking me, Buzz, Enid and Ilona. Can you tell? There's pink ones and white ones. Is there, or am I mistaken?
There is, of course. And there's all kinds of paleness in between the white and the pink.
Yes.
And some of them go from white to pink. And there are even cerise ones. I mean, they're every shade of pink to white.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful. I remember when I was in college, there was a whole load of them in UCD on the terrace.
Yes.
And the fellas would be chatting you up. They'd throw something up in the air, and all the petals would come down upon you, and you'd feel like a queen. So I do appreciate. appreciate what you said about the lady and the petals on her head.
But here's the thing.
I mean, you sort of feel like, I don't know, a bride or something with this happening to you.
But
it is very nice.
It is nice. And you speak of UCD, because I run there every morning, and they've planted new cherry blossom trees. I don't know if they're fruiting ones or not. But there's a lovely little pathway through them. And every morning...
I was talking about the terrace.
I know,
it was Earlsford Terrace.
Yes.
But yeah, out in Belfield, they have a wonderful woodland set up out there.
They are lovely.
And the cherry trees are probably ones that are suitable for the area because they have a great woodland scheme. There's lots of trees planted out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very good.
It's beautiful.
So enjoy your run through the flowers.
It cheers me up. So,
well, it does, of course. And I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about nature and people being down in the dumps and feeling oppressed with the way things are at the minute. By getting out and about and communing with nature, not having yolks stuck in your ears and listening to Spotify, but actually looking and hearing what's happening in nature. It's very, very good for your mental health, you know.
It's brilliant. And they say that bird song is particularly good. You know, they've done research on this, like your person with the goose and the 7 minute poo. So this weekend, we can recommend the Dawn Chorus. I was reading a bit by Derek, who is the presenter and the producer. It's
That's
the 26th year of it.
That's right. We've been going since 1995, and the dawn chorus is, I think, made for radio because it's what happens. The birds are in the woods. It's still dark. It's getting bright, but not bright enough to hunt. They all hunt by sound. But you have to hold on to your territory. You have to make sure the others know you didn't die in the night or nobody stole your missus. So this is the males all singing, and it's war cries. I live here, and I didn't die, and you hump off, and you think you're coming in here. And that's what they're at. And they're listening then to hear the other fellas singing back. So it's a wonderful sound. And they all have different ones. So the song of the blackbird is different to the song of the thrush, and that's different to the wren. Yeah. And the ones with the big eyes, like the blackbirds, they come on first. The ones with the small eyes might come in later on. The blue tits and the great tits have small little eyes, so they're going to be later in the chorus. And then you have the bass notes with the crows and the jackdaws going caw, caw. And then if you're lucky, and I'm down in Clare now this weekend, so hopefully I'll hear the cuckoo as a lovely falsetto in the middle of the whole lot. So the dawn chorus is a wonderful way of showing us that, you know, nature is just about to waken up. And then once the sun rises and it gets a bit brighter, they can't be singing around, just hanging around throwing shapes anymore, and they all go off to work. So, like, you want to be there from about half an hour before the dawn to about half an hour afterwards to get the full glorious sound of it. It's great.
So you're in Clare.
We're broadcasting all that live. We'll be standing there at our posts, standing in front of our microphones at 4 in the morning until 7.
And people all over Europe, Wales, Scotland, and I've listened to it in the past, and it is glorious, and it's a major feat as well, technological feat, to get everybody in from all over the place.
Absolutely. And I mean, one year, because we had but it wasn't COVID and things, we had a really good one. We started off in India, where, of course, you're further east, so the dawn chorus was earlier. And it comes in a wave across Europe, you know, so that it's earlier over in Russia. We had people from Russia on, we had people from Norway on, and then we got nearer and nearer and nearer to Ireland, and then the west coast of Ireland. Because by the time you get across the ocean, we'd certainly gone off the air. On Newark, they won't wait any longer, we get the boot. But, you know, that wonderful sound and the things that were making the songs in India, completely different to the things you're getting songs from here in Ireland. And it was all the same urge to protect your habitat, to protect your missus, and to say, I've survived the night, I'm still here, you know?
1 o'clock to 7 o'clock, Saturday night into Sunday morning, with Derek Mooney, Enid Launa, Niall Hatch, Jim Wilson, the whole team there, and people all over Europe. Enid, thanks so much.
Collins,
mind yourself.
Yeah,
as I say, I love talking to you.
I'll do my best. You mind yourself too.
Love talking to you. See you. Bye, bye, bye.
On behalf of me and the cherry trees,
that's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. No, it's just Cormac on his own. Just Cormac on his own. It's Tuesday. I should know that. Cormac O'Hara on the way. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
Well done, everyone.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.